with you, those who like you least will give you food even against their will, as you have learnt by experience. If when you have done this, you should die of hunger, happy the nuns of St. Joseph. Thus our prayers will be pleasing to God, and we shall have carried out what we professed. For the love of God, do not forget this. As you have given up your revenues, give up the care of your sustenance as well, or all will be lost. People whom our Lord wishes to possess incomes are quite right in looking after such matters, for that is their vocation. But it is inconsistent in us. To calculate what we shall receive from others seems to me like reckoning up their riches, and all your care will not change their minds, nor make them wish to give you alms. Leave your case in the hands of Him who bends all wills, who is the Lord of riches and of rich men. We came here at His bidding. His words are sure and cannot fail. Heaven and earth will fail first. Let us not forsake Him, and never fear that He will forsake us. If at any time He did so, it would be for our greater good, as life forsook the saints when they were slain and beheaded for our Lord, that their glory might be increased by their martyrdom. It would be a good exchange to finish this life quickly, so as to enjoy eternal satiety. Be certain, sisters, that this matter will be most important for you when I am dead. Therefore I leave it you in writing. While I live, by the grace of God, I will remind you of it, knowing by experience how great are its benefits. When I have least, I am most free from anxiety, and God knows that, as far as I can tell, it grieves me far more when I am well cared for than when I am in want. I am not sure whether this has happened because I have always found that our Lord supplies our wants at once. We should be deceiving the world if we acted otherwise. If, having embraced poverty, we were not poor in spirit, but only in externals. My conscience would prick me, as the expression is. It would seem like rich people asking for alms. God forbid that this should ever be done. Those who are so over-anxious about what will be given them will, some day or other, out of custom, ask for what they do not want, and perhaps from people more needy than themselves. Although the latter will gain rather than lose by this, yet we shall be the losers. May God prevent this ever happening, my daughters. If it were necessary, I should prefer your possessing an income. Never let your minds dwell on the subject. I ask this as an alms from you. Let the very last in the community, if she sees such a thing being done, cry out to God against it, and go to the prioress, humbly telling her that she is doing wrong. This is so important that otherwise, little by little, true poverty would be lost. I trust in God that it will never happen, and that He will not abandon His handmaids. For this alone, if for no other reason, this book that you have bidden me write for you, wretched sinner as I am, may be of use by keeping you on the alert. I believe, my daughters, that it is for your sakes our Lord has taught me some of the benefits to be found in holy poverty, which those will discover who practice it, although perhaps not to the same extent as I have. For not only was I without poverty of spirit, although I had professed it, but I was prodigal in spirit. Poverty includes in itself all the good things of this world, and a great part of the advantages of all the virtues as well, I believe. This I dare not assert, not knowing the value of each virtue, so I will not discuss what I do not thoroughly understand. But, in my opinion, poverty comprises many virtues. It is a vast domain. I affirm that whoever despises all earthly goods holds dominion over them. What are kings and lords to me if I do not want their money, nor seek to please them if by doing so I should displease God in the very least? What care I for their honours, if I know that the honour of a poor man consists in true poverty? It seems to me that honours and riches nearly always go together. He who loves honour never hates riches, while he who hates riches seeks no honours. You must understand this clearly, for I think that a thirst for honour always carries with it some regard for property and money. It is strange to see a poor man honoured by the world, for however much he may deserve it, he generally remains unnoticed. True poverty, undertaken for the sake of God, bears with it a certain dignity in that he who professes it needs seek to...